morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. Kind of a different show today, a show that I'm really interested in doing for a lot of reasons. The good-looking guy you see there, his name is Steve Schultz. Even though he has hair, but he has what I call Marine hair. He's a retired Marine officer. He's now head of the VBA, Berkshire Veterans Outreach Center. And it's in the underground out at the mall, Coatesville. And been wanting to have him on for quite a few months now. And he's had the time and I have the time. And I just really think what you're going to hear, if you know veterans, call them up on the phone right now. Tell them, tune in. And because Steve has brought a whole new dimension and dynamic to the Berkshire County area. Speaking personally, Steve helped me get my disability for Agent Orange and my current lung condition. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, we will be having Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, listen, I've been asking you for over a year to come on. And I have to say this, your new headquarters there is really wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I met Garrick the other day, so he's tainted now.
Nothing a good shower can't fix.
Oh, I'm sure. But and for the folks, once again, it's in the underground at Allendale Shopping Center. It's a wonderful place, and it's veteran oriented. And it truly, and this guy truly is a veteran, and Garrick is too. So, veterans dealing with veterans. And Steve, tell us what you're about.
So the Berkshire Veterans Outreach Center, as its name kind of implies, our focus is the veterans of Berkshire County. What we do is we provide 100% free assistance to veterans and their families in navigating the VA. That's the one sentence summary. Many layers below that are the details of what we do every day. Everything from disability claims to access to VA healthcare, submitting those applications, VA home loans, education benefits, discharge upgrades, you name it, we've probably handled it at some point in time if it has to do with the VA. We can also help provide information and access to other programs, even though we can't exactly or specifically handle the programs. The state of Massachusetts has a program called Chapter 115. That is actually a family of benefits for veterans through the state of Massachusetts.
Cool.
While we are not credentialed to distribute those benefits, we can provide information and education and the right points of contact, depending on where the veteran lives in Berkshire County, because most of those benefits are distributed through the town agents. And each town agent has their section of Berkshire County that they handle, and we can connect them with the right person.
And for those out there that have had to navigate, as Steve said, through the bureaucracy of the VA, you need someone with Steve's talent, his background, his education, and training, because if you try doing it, believe me, you'll have hair like me. Because that's what happened. And before I met Steve and Jim Clark, I tried to navigate it myself, and that's what happened. But and Steve, give us a little bit of your background so the other people out there know.
Well, I am a veteran. I'm a Marine veteran. I retired from the Marine Corps. And when I retired, my wife reminded me of our vows that were something along the lines of, for better or for worse, but not for lunch.
Yeah.
So she reminded me that I probably need to go out there and become a productive member of society again. So happened across an opportunity to work in this center when we were located at St. Luke's Square.
Yeah.
And I really kind of felt the pull because I went through my own trials and tribulations dealing with the VA. And I can imagine how difficult it could be for someone who had no experience at all trying to navigate it, let alone a surviving spouse or family member who absolutely had no clue even where to begin, let alone what questions to ask. So over time, I kind of, dug in. I'm not known to half step anything, so I just kind of poured myself into the mission. And unbeknownst to me, the gentleman that I was working with decided that he was going to head in a different direction, and I was presented with the opportunity to run the center. So after some conversation with my wife, because I do like sleeping indoors, we decided that it was a good move for me to take over the center. So I did. So I became the director of the Berkshire Veterans Outreach Center, continuing my work as a veteran service officer. And eventually got also tapped to become the chief veteran service officer for the Vietnam Veterans of America for the state of Massachusetts. So we've got a pretty good program. When I took over, we had seven VSOs. Now we're up to 19, and growing. We are always looking to expand the program. Every one of our VVA VSOs is fully accredited with the VA. We all have our credentials, our PIV cards, which gives us access to some of the VA programs, which to me has been an absolute game changer. The other thing that I just want to put out there to make sure that folks understand is that we stand in direct, support of veterans against the claim shark agencies. So there's these claim shark agencies that are offering you a sweetheart deal, like come work with us and we'll charge you $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. And then we'll help you put your claim together. We don't charge any fees. So that's very important for us. Our only agenda here is to help folks get the information they need to make educated decisions and get access to the VA benefits they need.
And just to dovetail on what Steve said, be very careful. The internet's full of them, to help you get life insurance, to help you get burial insurance, to help you. Or f your claim. I mean, I must get three emails a week to enhance my claim. Thanks to Steve, I don't have to worry about that because I'm at 100%. And Steve, just a little history. I met Steve and Lisa, who still, I guess, still works there, and she I don't think she's a veteran, but boy, she's there for veterans. Trust me, she's 100%. I think the world of her. And the other, when I came in, she didn't run out the door. That's another really plus thing for her, for me, I mean. But long story short, quite honestly, the working with Steve and putting together my claim under the PAC Act, and Steve will get into a lot of the detail with that, way over my head. But one of the things that I was told by the examiner who the healthcare examiner, they sent, I had to go to Albany, a private physician that's sanctioned by the VA, I guess, to do the final exams and all this. If you have anything to justify your condition or position or whatever, bring it with you when you see Steve. Because the doctor there said to me, it was your documentation and Steve's write-up that got me mine because I did some research and I had when they sprayed it, I had it down to the hours. And but Steve, I just wanted to get that out to people because they show up, take some time and look for the stuff. It helps him and eventually it helps you.
Absolutely.
So that the veterans now so you're there, you've expanded to a great organization, and you're a help to even to the local VSOs, right? Like Jim Clark and
Yes. So we are not in competition with any of the veterans agents that work under the Executive Office of Veteran Services and work
Yep.
for the towns. Guys like Jim Clark, Mitchell Keel, Doug Mann, Tom Beasley, all these excellent fine folks.
Yep.
They are all experts in that Chapter 115 program that I mentioned before.
Yeah.
And then some of them are handling VA claims as well. But we work hand in hand, and I know if I have a Chapter 115, a veteran who's eligible for that program, I'm going to hand them off to one of those individuals. And conversely, if Jim or Mitchell or any of these other guys have challenging VA claims and their workload is such that they want to direct them over here, they will. They absolutely will.
Yeah.
So we work very much hand in hand to help veterans get access to all the benefits that they deserve.
That's so cool because that's what you need to, because the VA is a huge bureaucracy. And through the years, they've added layers and layers and layers and layers of requirements. And you need a Steve to do it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the challenging part is that they are moving the goalposts, right? So, on the positive side of that, they passed the PACT Act into law in August of 2022, which is probably, without any exaggeration, the single biggest
Oh.
change to veteran benefits in probably 15 to 20 years.
Yeah.
And it really did open up the aperture to allow a lot more veterans to get access to benefits, but as a result, a lot more veterans have applied for benefits, and that's created a claim tsunami against the VA. And as a result, they have hired a whole bunch of new folks who, in my opinion, and this is not to indict necessarily the VA specifically, but I think there was a little bit of a rush to get them into the positions. So maybe the knowledge and the training hasn't quite caught up yet to the numbers. I've seen that borne out in the results of claims that I've worked on over the last 2 years. I'm sure they're all very well-meaning folks,
Absolutely.
and their hearts are in the right place, but it's just, the system and the process and the requirements make it challenging for the best of us. And when they're not given the tools, the resources, and the training to do their jobs, I think sometimes the result is an incorrect denial of a benefit
Right.
or a delay. I've got many claims that I've been working on with veterans and surviving spouses that are approaching a year in processing. So it gets very, very frustrating, I'm sure, for everybody, myself included, when that stuff can drag on for months and unfortunately sometimes years.
And that's exactly right. And the piece that I think is for so many people out there important, and you were kind enough in working with a survivor. Down the road before you came, Jim Clark actually helped with this many. The veteran died. The veteran died, and the spouse started getting all this stuff from the VA. It was, Chinese to her. And talk a little bit about that, if you would, please.
I guess I'll start with a brief but pointed indictment of veterans, or us, right? We are
Yeah.
not very good about keeping our spouses informed on what's going on in our lives because that's the way we've kind of always been. We are there to try to shield them from any of the dark stuff. So we don't tell them what our service-connected disabilities are. We don't tell them what we're dealing with. But as a result, if or when the unfortunate day does occur, that often leaves the spouse in a lurch, not even knowing where to start, let alone what
Right.
questions to ask or where to go. So what we have done in a very deliberate way to try to offset that is we have reinforced the idea of bringing spouses into these meetings with veterans, so that they have a seat at the table and they can ask questions. In addition, we have started handing out a product called the, actually, I'm going to grab it. Give me one second.
Please. Yeah, absolutely. So again, this is a veteran show. If you know a veteran, and you can always download this afterwards, always.
So the product, probably not coming in very clear, but it's called the Paper Safe, right? So the Paper Safe is a product that we give the veterans and their spouses. And not to oversimplify the product, but it's kind of a dummy's guide to end of life planning. So what we have found is since the spouses are unaware, they go years without claiming any of the benefits, and they're just struggling trying to make ends meet. And today's day and age, that's getting harder and harder.
Yes,
So
it
we've
is.
got surviving spouses that are choosing, do I pay for my medication, or do I pay to heat my home, or do I put gas in my car? Do I put food on the table? We're trying to stop that. We're trying to help connect them to the benefits that they deserve so they don't have to make those choices. And we're doing that by trying to get the information out there. There's over 11,000 veterans throughout Berkshire County. If each and every one of them had a spouse, my job would be to get that information in the hands of each and every one of those spouses so that, when the unfortunate day does occur, at least they have a point of contact, someone that they can call and help them, whose only agenda is to give them the information they need to get the benefits. We don't profit in any way, shape, or form. We don't get a piece of anybody's benefits here.
And what Steve is also saying is now, I'm going through this. There's a World War II guy who's been, in several homes and family issues, and somewhere his medals disappeared. And he's going to be 100. He is. He turned 102, and he'd like to have his medals back. So working with people to do that, you got to have help. But I guess the point I'm trying to make is keep your stuff together. My older brother, who just passed just before Thanksgiving, told me that, and I have a one of those accordion files that ha if I got a note from the sergeant, it's in there. And it proved that it worked out for me because I could prove where I was, when I was, and then I did the research and put that all together, and it went through like that.
It's a great point, Bill. And I tell folks when they ask me, like, what do? I say, well, it depends on the day. Some days I'm part doctor, some days I'm part detective, some days I'm part lawyer, some days, I'm something else, right? Therapist. So every day is a different day here. We try to use all of those tools. We bring all of those resources to bear to help veterans and their families, even if they show up empty-handed. We're not going to turn people away. We have resources and we've got access to different things that can help fill in the blanks potentially. I was working with an older veteran who had zero documentation of his service. And unfortunately, this gentleman couldn't even remember his branch of service. So I, through some sleuthing on the internet, and using my ancestry.com account, I was able to find his marriage announcement that listed at the end of his marriage announcement that he was serving in the Army. In addition, we were able to find a photograph of him in uniform. So we were able to piece those two things together and start to build something that does point irrefutably to the fact that the gentleman served. So it sometimes it is being able to think outside the box and produce something from nothing that kind of makes all the difference in the world.
And it's so important. I had a good friend who was in the army in Korea, was in a plane crash in Korea, an emergency landing, got hurt, spent time in the hospital, and had a bad experience with the VA in the 1950s. So I would say, and I loved him like a brother, but he was a little thick. And I said to him, get involved, get signed up. You never have to use it, but if you need it, it'll be there. Now, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. He said, bye bye. Well, unfortunately, he became dementia and Alzheimer's, and just a lot of his life went south very quickly. And fortunately, he had put a few bucks away, but it darn near cost him his home. So, and plus, he had good insurance from his retirement. That helped a lot. But when it came time, again, his family didn't know anything, because I tried to get them to get to the VA agent at the time, and they had nothing, and this VA agent wasn't all that good. So, not like Steve and Jim Clark and the people we have today. So, again, start thinking about it now. We don't want to think about it, we have to.
Yeah, it's a good point, Bill, that this is not your dad's VA.
Right.
So back in the day, there's no telling how bad things were, because there wasn't a lot of attention or emphasis on it. And of course, when the folks came home from Vietnam, all you wanted to do is as quickly as you could grow your hair out and get rid of the uniform because you were getting called all kinds of terrible things. So if I could just pause briefly and offer a
Please.
heartfelt welcome home to all the Vietnam veterans who may be listening to this or watching this, I mean that with all my heart. Welcome, you deserve the welcome home that you never got. So welcome home.
Well,
Uh,
thank
I
you.
will tell you all, though, in the same breath, that the VA has changed.
Yes, it has.
Is it as good as it needs to be? No, that's not what I'm here to tell you, but it's so much better than it used to be. And with very, very few exceptions, every single person I've worked with at the VA has the best intentions in mind.
Yes.
There's always the 10% of knuckleheads out there. Every branch of service has them. The VA has them. Every federal agency has them. I'm sure there's 10% of radio talk show hosts that are knuckleheads. Present company excluded, of course, Bill.
Included, included.
So, but.
You should see some of the texts I get, but
But
okay.
please don't judge the VA by one encounter or one phone call or one experience, and give them a chance to serve you as a veteran, because
Right.
I honestly believe that that's what they are trying to do their very best at.
I was at our local clinic just yesterday, and I can't rave enough about it. I can't say enough good things about Michelle and Ed and all the people, the nurses, Michael, the male, the doctors. They really do care, and they show you that. They show you that, and just by the amount of time they spend with you and listen to what you're saying, it is true. When we came back, trust me, they didn't want anything to do with us, and they made it perfectly clear. Not the medical people, the administrative people. So, but that's all. I'll tell you, I go to the VA. I get excellent. Our local clinic, Northampton, and I go because my lungs to Boston. It's amazing care. Even the civilian doctors that I go to say, this is really amazing.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So, people today, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because I usually am. When you get out of the service now, it's part of the discharge process getting into the VA. Am I right or wrong with that?
Yes, mostly. So I think it some of it depends. But I think they have absolutely started to ensure that that is baked into the separation transition process is a connection with the VA. They've taken it so far as now when a veteran or a service member separates and becomes a veteran, that a copy of the records of that service member are sent to the National Archives, kept at the branch of service, and also sent to the VA.
Oh, wonderful.
So that is, I don't
Yeah.
remember the date that that happened and started shifting, but I know it was a very deliberate shift to address that gap that was created, that air gap, right? You separate
Yeah.
out and they drive you to the front gate and they give you the final salute and say, "Have a nice day." And then you're like, "Well, what do I do now?" And having that immediate access to some kind of healthcare is critical, right? During that transition period where
Yeah.
maybe you're looking for what the next chapter is going to hold. Maybe you already have a job, but it doesn't have quite the healthcare coverage you're looking for because you're just kind of starting out. So I really think that The federal government, Department of Defense, VA have done a fantastic job of trying to close that gap down to as small as possible.
And I really think that again the I see that with the people young, well, I call them young people coming in because anybody's younger than I am, but they seem to already be kind of pre-programmed for the VA, and I don't know if that's the proper term, but I see them do that, and to me, that is so terrific. That is
Yeah,
so terrific.
agreed. Agreed, Bill. I think we've, the VA has done a good job of advertising itself too,
It
right? So
has.
it's, and they are acknowledging the younger generation. I at least 3, 4, 5 times a day, I am going out to va.gov to refresh my memory on programs and information and benefits. The latest and greatest is kept out there, and the VA does change programs, so I don't ever like to assume I know exactly what's going on with the program, so I use va.gov all the time, and I would encourage any veteran or surviving spouse listening to this show or watching it to take a minute or two or three and just go out there and surf around va.gov. I think you'd be surprised on what you see. It's a pretty good website.
And I just noticed I got a blurb. I went on My Healthy Vet that I have until January 31st to redo something. Otherwise, I guess they've redone their website or so. I don't know, but so I'll be trying to. My son's coming back for Christmas with his kids, so I'll be having him do it because you don't want me doing it. That'll shut the whole system down.
Yes.
But the is this sounds goofy too, but with all these shots and flus and all this flu shot and SRV or whatever, COVID, if you're part of the VA medical program, you get those for free. And I have to tell you, the first COVID round, the Dr. May is the doctor down in Northampton at Or what a fine, it was a fine-tuned machine. You drove in, you parked, you checked in, you got the shot, you waited your 25, 30 minutes, but you got the car and you left.
Yep. But the other side to that, Bill, is that they're going to ask,
Yeah.
they're not going to force, right? So I
Exactly.
appreciate that too, so that I know there are folks out there and I understand it completely that said, hey, I'm good, I've got my shot, I've got my second shot, I'm done.
I'm done.
And the VA politely asks, would you like this? Would you like a flu shot? No, thank you. And you go about your day. They're
Not
not saying, well, you
mandatory.
have to leave if you don't get your COVID shot or your flu shot. So I appreciate that aspect of it too.
You're exactly not mandatory. It's or compulsory. If you want it, you make an appointment, you get it. If you don't make an appointment to get it.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And families too. One of the parts that I notice with what I like now about part of the out processing is the direct link to the VA, because I think a lot of Vietnam guys had PTSD and all this, and they couldn't get to the VA, or it was a process, and a lot of them ended up in prison or jail. Because when I was working in various places around the country, I bumped into a lot of Vietnam vets, and it was stupid, addiction, booze, fights, classic PTSD stuff. So now that that bridge has been made, you're getting out of the service, you're coming over the bridge into the VA. They both have exactly the same files. Because a lot of guys lost their stuff too, or threw it away.
True.
So before we get to break, though, let's take the break and come back, and we'll expand upon how you can get to them and other services. I know I repeat myself, but when you get to be 77, you can repeat yourself too. And maybe it's because it's I know so many. I think Vietnam, the last time I checked, we're dying at like 500 a day. So I want the moms and the wives to listen, because a lot of them, their survivors are their mothers, you know. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. And if you know a vet, have them call. tell them where we are. If you missed the show, you can download it from WTBR, PCTV. But also, I'm going to give you Steve's, if you don't mind, Steve, I'm going to give your information. His
Please.
name is Steve Schultz. He's a case manager. He is a veteran. He's a VVA accredited senior veteran service officer. He didn't even look that old. Huh. His email is B is in boy, V is in Victor, O is in Oscar, C is in Charlie, dot Schultz. S is in Sierra, C is in Charlie, U is in Uruguay, L is in Lima, T is in Tango, Z is in Zebra, and E is in Echo. Pretty good, huh? I've been out a long time. at gmail.com. His office phone, 413-448-6052. They got great people who answer the phone. They're very courteous and very, very, very helpful. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Please stay tuned. And like I said, if you know a vet or survivor, have them tune in and we'll do what we can for them. He will.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Revolution!
Yeah, baby, yeah!
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Yes. Today, this show is for veterans. I'm proud and honored to have with me Steve Schultz. He is the case manager for the Berkshire Veterans Outreach Center. They got a beautiful place. Beautiful. In the underground at the Allendale Shopping Center. And Steve, just kind of recap what we did for the first half. It's a morning show. People are in and out. Steve is a veteran. He's a Marine Corps officer, retired.
Yeah, so Bill, thank you again. I really can't thank you enough. We don't have a budget for advertising, so any chance that we get the word out about what we do here is really great. The Berkshire Veterans Outreach Center, our focus is to provide assistance with navigating the VA for veterans and their families throughout Berkshire County. All the services that we provide in navigating the VA are free, 100% free. We don't charge for anything that we do here, whether it's filing for a disability claim, helping someone get access to VA healthcare or some other type of VA benefit or some other resource that we can connect veterans with, because there's lots and lots of resources that are out there. So I am proud to say that we are standing in direct defiance of the claim sharks that are out there. You know, we our only agenda here, our only mission here, is to provide free service to help veterans get all the benefits that they need from the VA that they are eligible for.
Cool. Yeah, and again, let me just jump on that a little bit too. These claim sharks are very that's a good looking picture of me. These claim sharks, they're dangerous, because you sign up, they get all your information.
Yep.
And I don't know what they do with it. And they charge you. Everything's a charge. I can, in full disclosure, Steve helped me get my disability from Vietnam, from Agent Orange. And he it was amazing how much he helped me just by asking me, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have? And then he put together the claims, I guess, letter. I don't know the nomenclature. But and then the next thing you know, I'm going for a second opinion to a doctor that the VA hired to make sure I wasn't trying to, you know, be a shenanigan here. And it was the documentation and it was the way it was written up. And that's what the doctor told my wife and I. So there you go.
Yeah, that's the key. You know, sometimes you got to be able to anticipate the questions the VA is going to ask and include that with the claim right up front. So, you know, the claims process can be very difficult to navigate depending on how long ago the veteran served and what the condition is that they're seeking to get service connected. You know, there's three main elements to a service connected disability claim. The first one is proof of service. The second one is a current diagnosed disability. And the third one, and often the most challenging, is what is the connection between that diagnosed disability and the service? There's four different types of claims, disability claims out there. There are presumptive claims where the federal government presumes that your condition is caused by your service based on where you served or what you were exposed to. There's an aggravation claim. That means you had the condition prior to serving, but your branch of service accepted you, maybe with a waiver, who knows? Yeah. And something happened during your service that aggravated that pre-existing condition. And the third one is a direct service connection. You know, for example, you were climbing a rope on the obstacle course and you lost your hand hold on the rope and you fell and you hurt your knee. Documented in service, pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
And then there's the last one is the secondary service connection. So using that same example where you fell off the rope and hurt your knee, now you're limping around on your left leg for better part of a year, and now your right leg starts to hurt because your right leg isn't meant to hold up your whole body weight, right? So that may be considered a secondary condition, but we don't want folks leaving this conversation thinking they need to be experts in navigating the VA. That's what we need, right? That's what we bring to the table is a deep knowledge of the process, the information, the criteria, and the forms and how to submit them and when, et cetera, et cetera. So we help you hand in hand walk through this process. And at the end, we help you understand the very, very complicated decision letters that come out from the VA that might as well be written in a foreign language sometimes.
They'd be easier.
I think so.
One of the things that just dumbfounded me, which by now you realize it's not that big a challenge, was how they rate, like loss of hearing. Well, you have to prove you lost it because whatever, but that's 8% or 12% or 10%. How do they come up with these?
You know, that's a great question. Part of me thinks that there's some giant magic eight ball down in Washington, D.C., and they shake it every now and again, and they come up with an answer. But the reality is that I know over time with the advice, the expert advice of medical doctors, you know, that they have developed different rating scales for different things. Some are very cut and dry, like tinnitus. Very common illness among veterans, ringing in the ears, tinnitus. That is either service-connected at 10% or it's not service-connected. Those are the only two options, right? Lots of other illnesses, disabilities have a sliding scale of severity, and the VA, by law, is in their decision letter not only required to tell you if you were granted a service-connected rating, they're required to tell you why they didn't grant you the next level, if there is a next level, right? So in the example using tinnitus, there is no next level, so there's not going to be any information. But if your left knee was service-connected at 20% and there is a 30% for your left knee, they have to tell you what that criteria is so that if you were to be granted that 30%, you would understand what that means.
Yeah, and so believe me, when I tell you, please go to Steve and his team, please, because you'll look like me if you don't. That should be enough to frighten the living out of you.
Well, in fairness, Bill, you didn't look like this when you came in, so I'm not sure what happened after you left.
Oh, look at me. But no, but seriously, I tried it, you know, and it was just like, and they'll bury you with paperwork. Stuff that you don't even have, you got to go to the doctor. And I went to one doc and he said, what? I don't know what this says. Yeah. And but I will say this, the VA of 2024, soon to be 2025, is not the VA of 1974. It is much more the professional on the administrative side, and on the medical side, second to none. And now, and Steve, maybe you can explain this better, but the VA will grant you a local doctor if you're not within so many miles or something.
Yes, sir. So I believe the program is called community-based care, right?
Right.
So the VA has embraced the community-based care model for a bunch of different reasons. Primarily to try to ease the burden on veterans for making them travel distances to main VA hubs, VA healthcare hubs.
Exactly.
So what they'll do, for example, if you are in the local area here and you happen to frequent the Pittsfield Outpatient Clinic and you need to see a specialist.
Right.
Now, the VA has a mechanism in place where that doctor can write a referral to a local specialist in the town, right? So if you have a kidney issue, they can send you over to see a kidney specialist at BMC.
Right.
If you have a skin issue, they can send you to see a dermatologist here in Pittsfield.
Yeah, and I will tell you, I agree with Steve. They're making it easier on us, but they were also overwhelmed when the war, but Afghan and all the Defending Freedom.
Enduring Freedom. Yep.
Yeah. Enduring Freedom.
Yep.
All of a sudden now, they had all these guys, and I know this for a guy at Boston lung doctor told me, all these guys were coming back with horrendous lung diseases from the burn pits. And the VA is there for veterans. The VA is there for survivors. And Steve, what are some of the survivor benefits?
Another great question, Bill. And again, I don't want to get too deep down a rabbit hole.
No.
So I'll try to stay at the wavetop level. There's several different programs that I think folks that are listening to this should at least have an idea of what they are. So the first one is called DIC, Dependency Indemnity Compensation. So DIC is available to surviving spouses of veterans who pass away from a service-connected disability, or veterans who are service connected at 100% for 10 years, and then they can pass away from anything, or veterans who have been enrolled in the program called unemployability or total disability based on individual unemployability for 10 years.
Okay.
Again, you can very quickly make this a very complicated discussion, but the long and short of it is, if you have any questions about that particular benefit, that's exactly what we're here for. Because the parameters of the program that are there today may not be in place tomorrow. So it's important to know that there is a program.
Right.
That there is the possibility of eligibility, but also to know someone who can help you navigate that criteria. So another program is called the VA Wartime Veteran Surviving Spouse Pension. So The word pension is a little bit misleading in my opinion. It really should be called welfare. And the reason why I say that is because there is a asset and income cap on the program. So that particular program is available to surviving spouses of veterans who served during designated wartime periods. There are literal dates, January of 1970, whatever, for a specific wartime period, which we can help you navigate.
Yep.
So I don't want folks, again, not to reiterate, but thinking you have to come away from this conversation and be an expert in the program, rather knowing where to go to find that specific information. So we would sit down with a surviving spouse and their family, walk through all the eligibility criteria, and if they meet that criteria, then we would, in fact, put the paperwork together to help them apply for the benefit.
So, and again, they'll do the work. You just got to give them some basic information. There's a document, and at least since I've been in the service and out, it's called the DD-214. And that's the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. That's got every place you've been, done, rank, when you've done it, awards, whatever. That's a golden fleece. You got to know where that is. Wives, veterans, spouses, you have to excuse me, you have to know where that is in the event you go to Steve or anybody else. Excuse me. Because from that they can derive all kinds of things. I just thought of something, and you've dealt with me before. You're not surprised. It just jumped into my brain. It's been in the back for a while. A friend of mine, and you know, will mention he's passed now. He was in Vietnam. He was in Lejeune twice. Okay. Well, he went to one of these law snaggers, and they kept putting them. The last thing was, they needed to know what, you ready for this, Steve? What barracks he was in at Lejeune. I said, that's malarkey. That is what I said, but for the radio it is. And I said, I've never heard of it. I can't even remember what street I was on. Never mind what barracks I was in. So you have to be alert to this. Go to the people like Steve, Jim Clark, town veteran agent, city vet. Don't go on the internet, please. They're fishing out there, and they make it sound so simple. And boy, I said in the show at the top and at the break, I truly believe this guy and his organization got my disability pretty quickly compared to what I'm hearing now. And this guy had three or four forms of cancer, and the one that took him was brain cancer. So, and they jacked him around. This is one, you'll love this, Steve. He passed, and they got a letter, and they canceled part of his disability. He hadn't passed, he was dying. He had prostate cancer, and they took the prostate out, and they said, well, you don't have it anymore. I mean, you can't make it up.
Yeah. It's definitely, there's a lot of stuff that I see every day here in my office that I just scratch my head in disbelief.
Yeah. But, and again, don't go away, because I'm going to give you his addresses again. This is a morning show. I know some of you are driving, some of you are there won't be kids on the bus, but Steve Schultz, his name is. He's a wonderful guy. He's a case manager. He's VVA, Vietnam Veterans of America, accredited senior Vietnam service officer. That's important. He knows what he's doing. He's not in a learning stage. He's with the Berkshire Veterans Outreach Center, and they're at the underground out in Coatesville at the mall. So if you drop your wife off or your husband off to get a pedicure or your wife off to get a nail thing, go downstairs. And they're right down there at the bottom of the stairs. You can I take the elevator because I don't know my age. If I took the stairs down, I'd never get back up. But here's his telephone number is 413-448-6052. And his email, all lowercase, B as in boy, V as in Victor, O as in Oscar, C as in Charlie, dot. S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, H as in hotel, U is in Uruguay, L is in Lima, T is in Tango, Z is in Zebra, and E is in Echo, at gmail.com. Steve, would you take a minute and just give us kind of a briefing on when someone comes the first time, what kind of paperwork should they be looking for or bringing to you?
Yes, absolutely. So if you're coming in for the first visit here, it's really important to bring something that provides evidence of service. Now, you brought up the DD-214 before, which is the classic document that most branches of service are familiar with. However, there are other documents. The Guard Reserves, I believe, deal with the NGB-22. I see a lot of those come across my desk as well. I've had folks bring in just the discharge certificate itself, not the actual DD-214.
Yeah.
So anything is better than nothing.
Right.
But ideally, you're bringing in that formal Department of Defense form DD-214 so that we can look at that and help you understand what that translates in terms of access to benefits. A lot of the VA programs do require that as the key to unlock the door to benefits. Yes. So unfortunately, it's not enough to say you're a veteran. You have to provide proof. It does get problematic sometimes because folks lose track of documents. They don't have access to it. And in addition, there's 14 to 16 million veterans out there whose records were partially or completely destroyed in the fire at the National Archives.
Yeah.
So for those folks, it is extremely challenging sometimes to provide evidence to the VA and other organizations to prove that they are veterans. So when you've come to the first visit, I would say bring an open mind, bring your discharge documents and bring some of your patience and time. We will sit down. Some of my meetings are only 10 minutes. Some of them are 3 hours.
Yeah.
I try to leave as much time as I can to answer any of your questions. My job is for you to leave here with all the information available to make informed decisions about what benefits you want to pursue.
And how about medical stuff from like your doctors?
Well, that starts to get into the specifics of what we're trying to accomplish. So if a veteran shows up and, you know, they're just interested in getting access to VA healthcare, maybe those aren't as critical to have with you.
Okay.
If a veteran shows up and says, I really would like to discuss submitting a claim to the VA,
okay,
then it becomes more important to have something that points to a diagnosis.
Good.
Now, if your only care is already provided by the VA, then it's sufficient to just have a conversation, because what we don't necessarily have to do is provide the VA its own healthcare records, right? We can simply put a statement together pointing the VA back to its own records in those cases. But more is better, but less is acceptable. So that's we start with what we have.
And again, patience. as my wife would say, not one of my first virtues. but it's mandatory, especially when it's you're just getting in the pool. If you've been in the pool, like now, if I had something more to do with the, I would go to Steve and say, what about this? I'm known to the VA. In fact, I said to the kid yesterday, the nurse yesterday, I said, you know, I've been coming to VA for 53 years. He goes, that's older than I am. Could have gone all day without saying that. But it is true. Patience is critical. It truly is. They can get it to the right people, but that doesn't mean the right people are going to jump on it.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
It's more than fair, Bill. And I would say this is a good opportunity to plug out to everybody. You know, please don't sit on it, right? If you have a veteran or a family member, or you are a veteran or a family member, you know, believe me when I tell you that every day is a gift. So everybody's like, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. sometimes, unfortunately, tomorrow doesn't come. So at the end of today, please consider what we're talking about. And if you've been putting off the decision to come to talk to somebody, I don't care whether it's me or not. Go talk to Jim, go talk to Mitchell, go talk to Doug, go talk to Tom, talk to someone, and start the ball rolling. At least ask the
Exactly.
question, right?
Start the ball rolling. Like my
Yes.
good friend didn't. And when he really probably could have used VA nursing home, it was by the time he got approved, he was dead.
Yeah. And it's never too early to ask the question about some of this, towards end of life care. They're dumping all kinds of money into the facility there at Holyoke.
Yeah.
I understand it's coming out from under the shadow that it was in during COVID. There was a lot of mismanagement, a lot of terrible things. I think they're working in earnest to turn their act around. So frequently what I get in here is folks that are in a very urgent or emergent situation, which could have been solved had they come in earlier and been a bit more proactive about the situation instead of waiting until the last minute and saying, well, if you wait till the last minute, it only takes a minute. Well, the VA doesn't operate that way. So unfortunately, I can only pedal as so fast, and then the paperwork is handed over to the
One last question and I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy.
VA.
No, but it made me think of it. If you want to be buried in a veteran cemetery, don't wait till you die because it'd be too late.
Yeah, amen. I got a couple of quick things if you don't
No,
mind, Bill.
please. No, please. It's your show.
So another plug to all veterans out there who are currently receiving VA compensation. If you are receiving VA compensation, you have signed a unwritten contract with the VA that you will read every letter they send you. If you do not, you may find yourself in the position of other individuals that I've helped that have a significant debt to the VA because they said, I don't need to read the VA letters. Everything is good. Turns out the VA was asking for information that the veteran never provided. And unbeknownst to the veteran, the VA started racking up a debt. So now the veteran has to go back and try to fix this whole thing because they said that they didn't need to read the mail from the VA. So please, if you listen to anything I say today, read your mail from the VA before you throw it away. I'm not saying don't throw it away. I'm
Yeah.
saying read it first.
And understand it.
And if you don't, call me and I'll help
Yeah.
you understand it. Or call someone and they'll help you understand it. So the other thing that I want to make sure that I get out there to everybody is we're not just providing services to navigate the VA. We run a clothing and a food pantry here for veterans and their families.
Thank you.
I've lost count of how many turkeys and hams we've given out already this year, and that's fantastic. So veterans come in here and they can supplement their grocery shopping here, or they can do quite a bit of it here. They can get a winter coat here. They can get a nice new, clean, warm pair of socks. We have a lot of services here other than just helping veterans with their VA claims. So if it's something that we can help you out with, please, our food and clothing pantry is open from 11 to 1 every Thursday, except when that Thursday falls on a holiday, and then we try to pick a different day. If you happen to be walking by the office and you want to use the food or clothing pantry and it's not a Thursday, that's fine. Knock on the door, ring the bell. We'll do our best to get you taken care of.
Steve, I can't thank you enough, man, for taking the time and all that you do for all of us. And
Bill, it's been my honor and my privilege to give back. It definitely makes me feel like I can, help out in any way I can with veterans and their families to help them avoid going through some of the pain that folks like you and I went through before we knew what to do.
that's exactly right. And I wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Don't take this as a threat. I'll be out to see you.
Merry Christmas and Happy New
Tell
Year, Bill,
Derek
to
to
you and your
stop looking
family.
through that peephole when I'm ringing the bell because he knows who it is. How many people have a hair like me? Come on.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. This has been great. We'll do it again in about 3 months because there's always new people.
Yes, sir.
All right. Merry Christmas. Everybody, remember, try. Everybody's got a load. Let's help people carry their load. Don't be part of the load. Think about that. We're all in this together. We got to help each other. We really do. And as I always say, and I know it upsets some of you, but it's what I, God bless you all, even the ones that send me the hate mail. I look forward to getting it.